All right, welcome back to Glue Guys. This is Mike here. Say hello, Brian.
Hello.
Check us out on Twitter at BK Glue Guys, Almighty Baller Network, Nets Daily, and search for us. And on iTunes, please leave a review. Brian.
Mike.
Eventful week. A week filled of injuries for both of our families. One to your digits.
Also the Nets family.
Jeremy Lin again.
The injury bug got us all.
The Nets start off their week with a win over the Knicks and two competitive games after that. But Brian, I can't help but notice you have...
Yeah, I got a thing.
You got a thing. Tell us about the thing.
Well, first, let me just say thanks for everyone for tweeting.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to be able to give out the gift.
Why not? What are you talking about? Oh, yeah.
Well, did anyone get it?
Well, we got... I'll just go through a couple of these.
Well, you have to tell...
Oh, okay. So here's
the injury?
Here's the story. I broke my pinky finger on my right hand, on my shooting hand. The injury it's fine. It's an oblique fracture to the fifth metatarsal. So that's fine. Real clean. You know, if I'm going to break something, I like to do it clean, Mike. That's sort of what I do. But yeah, it was a so it's third quarter. You know, Nets just go on a run that sucks the life out of the building.
Beautiful, totally beautiful.
What better than to? Are we peaking a little bit?
No, we're actually very good.
What better than to get things back on track than here comes the giant Gatling shirt bazooka? Now, I'm the kind of guy, I don't get excited for a whole lot, Mike. You know this, but pretty mild mannered.
Pretty rough, but you can get up.
I don't get out of bed for a free t-shirt. That's for damn sure. So I was sitting there in my chair.
Seems like you did.
Thing got fired at me. A screamer. You know, we had good seats. So
tell us about the seats. Where are we sitting?
It's like, you know, it was pretty good. It was like good. 20th row.
Why are you afraid to say?
This is like 20th row. Yeah. Resent people with...
Brian lives a high class lifestyle.
Listen, I know a few people. I know people who, you know, work in the biz. That's it. That's all. Anyways.
You know one person, I think.
And they must have known that I was going to be there because I think they put a brick in this t-shirt. They wrapped a brick up in it, shot it out of a cannon at me, and it smashed into my really extraordinarily strong, totally normal finger and broke it.
What angle was it coming
in? Here's the real thing. This is not like an interest. This doesn't make for a bad story because here's why. Here's what really happened. The kid next to me, testosterone monster ogre child, who slammed into me right at the
ogre child.
Right, he's probably 16. Slammed into me at the point of contact, and it would have been a routine play, but because I was jostled and he was ripping at it, it messed my finger up. And then immediately, of course, he got the t-shirt because...
Wait. The impact from the firing, did that break it, or was it him ripping it from your hands?
I would have been able to field it, right, had he not jostled my whole body and made my hands do things that I wasn't expecting. So put them out of position, and then it got hit directly with the brick wrapped in a t-shirt that got shot at me. Anyways, this total monster child immediately then puts on his quadruple XL, like, crinkly Knicks shirt. He's sitting there, all
crock. Did he say anything to you?
I'm just seething. I was like, oh, I'm going to strangle you with that shirt, kid. I swear to my finger hurts so bad.
What was dad's reaction to your dad?
It didn't not pay attention.
Didn't care. I'm sure.
he was in rare form. It was a great game. I mean, we were let me also say a couple of things about him. Like, as if I had reason, I needed more reason to hate the Knicks in Madison Square Garden.
Sure.
I have to break my finger there. But they are not what they used to be. I remember in 96, I went to Madison Square Garden for the first time for Bulls Knicks playoff. And I was floored. It was the most awesome experience. You could still smoke there at the time, so there were people just like ripping cigarettes.
Lord.
And there was all old guys. Like, everyone was like, it was like an old boys club, and it was awesome. And everyone was booing and, like, you know, just heckling. And it was great. It was like a very cool culture. Crickets. They're dejected now. They were getting beat at home by the Nets, and they couldn't even boo their own team anymore.
Well, the not that I had seen it live like you had, but growing up, the Garden crowd was like one of the few crowds in the NBA that seemed to matter. They don't matter anymore,
dude. Like, I'm telling you, it was a ghost town.
That's so amazing.
I'm
sorry.
Me and GW were, you know, just talking a mountain of S the whole time.
No, you weren't.
Oh my god.
What do you mean?
My dad also he had surgery recently on his face. So he had some skin cancer removed. It's no big deal.
But he had this like just okay.
He had a large bandage on his face too. So he's talking. So he's turning around, just like you guys all suck with a giant bandage on his face. Yeah. He really blows my mind. Very impressed with his ability to not be embarrassed pretty much ever under any circumstances.
That is such a gift.
It really
that
is
a superpower.
It is a superpower of a kind.
The no Nets gear, right? You weren't wearing any Nets gear.
No.
Yeah, because you would. Yeah,
okay. I don't really wear gear to games.
So, are you going to sue James Dolan?
Yes, they are going to receive a lawsuit. No, I'm not. No, that's not. I mean, if I were a litigious person, and I'm not, I would.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, we're all banged up here, Mike.
Yeah.
So wait. So Twitter. Here's what the people are on Twitter.
Well, yeah. There's so, actually kind of an allusion to my family's injury in that. But
so, Greg Broster tag, the most obvious cause would be falling down Barclays' super steep stairs, which they are. This is actually not at Barclays, but the Barclays stairs are incredibly steep. Feeding his dog. No, I don't have a dog. Mike has a gorgeous puppy named Georgie.
Which I tweeted at Greg, and I said, Brian hates dogs, and I know that for a fact.
This is... Anyways, he was trying to save some spinach artichoke dip from crashing to the ground. Save the dip, broke his finger. Mike, I have talked to a lot of people about spinach artichoke dip.
And can I tell you?
You're 100% unanimously disagreed with.
All right. I didn't touch it, but we were out to dinner and drinks with people on Saturday night. And the most recommended thing the waitress could tell us was spinach artichoke dip. I thought she was trolling me. But yeah, she had tracked me down and trolled me. And people got it. They ate it. I didn't touch it. I will not touch it.
I wouldn't even look at it.
That's not even a red line for me. It's a green line. You get it? Green?
No. Artichokes are. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Good one. So punching a fire extinguisher.
That's an interesting one. That was.
Well, that's because of
what's his name?
Amari Stoudemire.
Yeah. Wait. Well, how did Enos Cancer break his hand? Didn't he like
punching a chair?
Punched a chair.
Yeah.
Punching things
for him, and it like bent at the wrong time. That looked pretty brutal. I bet that hurt so bad. Clicking mock draft on Tankathon, not in the Billboard Lounge.
Yeah, that would infuriate you because you
pressing one of the drops too hard. that's a good one.
So I don't know if we can give it out.
Using a speed bag.
The prize would have been if you had gotten in on time, the answer correctly, would have been a game worn Glue Guys hat.
Why was it game worn? Because you took it out of the bag?
And I've worn it. So it's game worn. I would have signed it.
Those hats are so hilariously.
Are they nice?
Dad-ish. They're like
they're dad hats.
They really are. They have the strap in the back.
I went to, what is these? I mean, they're like, there's, I don't know if you've seen these, if you've gone to a mall lately, but some of those stores where they have like, not even trendier clothes, but like of the minute trend clothes, things that have like sayings from TV shows that happened 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
They are called dad hats. That is the brand of hat.
Oh.
Sorry, I just looked at something on TV. So we'll give that out for another reason. We'll find another reason to give out that hat. I think it's a special hat.
Put it back in a plastic bag and don't tell me word, okay? That'll
Well, I think if people listen to this, they're going to know. Dude, I don't think anyone really cares about my dog.
But hey, the game was amazing.
Right.
The game was outrageous. And it was really fun to be the only Nets fans in the place with the huevos to just be screaming and yelling about how bad the Knicks sucked.
And I think that's the mentality Nets fans should just take on. Just...
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of great to be like, you know, so at the bottom, like that, like it, we go in there, there's no like, oh, so you beat us. Great. Like, we don't care. And if we win, it's we get to heckle you.
There's a special kind of
bad that you get to
like,
be.
Yeah. If both teams were good and one team was better, yeah, that would be special. But there's also another kind of special hate where it's like both teams are bad.
Yeah.
One team is actually doing worse right now.
Right.
That's the Knicks. There were other. I mean, like there was the Celtics game with the Nets almost coming back to win. There was the Dallas game, which the Nets, you know, what is the Yogi Ferrell Spencer Dinwiddie battle. Mm. I mean, that's really what that everyone was watching there.
Yeah.
The Nets are doing slightly better. Of course, Jeremy Lin gets hurt again.
Yeah.
It's just so sad. The reaction from I think it was on Nets Daily that I was reading it was that like even he said this is not like my hammy. this is just something I will be able to get over. It's like the reaction to every time Jeremy Lin goes down even slightly. It's just like, oh, yeah. Well, don't need to watch. Season's over.
You know what really sucks about that, too, is like the few times you get to send some positive tweets about Jeremy Lin, they were super popular and be like, oh, great. It's like, see, yeah, there was a ton of positivity.
Yeah.
And now you get to go back to being a little internet troll.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I do want to mention this. So,
oh, good.
The Spencer Dinwiddie Yogi Ferrell thing. I was joking about it, but like, yeah. So obviously, and I had even said this, that the Yogi Ferrell decision to let him go was tough because he had done well for like three games on Dallas. And I looked at the stats. Per 36 can be a terrible vortex to fall into, but Tim Capstra on the radio broadcast, because I was listening to the radio broadcast for the Dallas game, was saying this, and I think it's not inaccurate, is that Dinwiddie and Yogi Ferrell have been essentially the same player besides the one little outburst that Yogi's had.
Yeah.
They're per 36. Yogi scores 13.5 points a game. Dinwiddie's 11. They have the same assists, same turnovers. Spencer rebounds the ball one more time a game. Field goal percentage, Dinwiddie like crushes Yogi Ferrell. And also Dinwiddie is 6'6".
Is this per 36 since he's been traded to Dallas, or is this just season?
I gave him season. I think that's fair, because also Dinwiddie is on Brooklyn, so it's like there's actually a denominator that is the same in that situation. There are, you know, a variable.
One very astute Twitter representative, Two Morning Poops, said the advantage could be in Spencer Dinwiddie's favor because of his ability to guard 1-3, which is pretty true. I mean, he can guard people much taller than him. You're not buying this.
No. And like, I'm defending Spencer Dinwiddie in this, right? But in the end, I'd rather have Yogi Ferrell. Because I can see, in my mind, I can see Yogi Ferrell in the future as JJ Barea type, where he's a backup ball handler who can score and will give your bench units. I don't really know. Dinwiddie looks fine, but has he impressed really that much this year? I mean, he's had a couple of decent games.
Here's what you're getting caught up in, though.
Please.
So, in like the...
They're about the same age, by the way. I think Yogi's a month younger.
Yeah. Have you ever seen those diagrams of like, they're like pentagons, and it'll be like, if you have a strength in one of the sections, it goes further.
Yeah,
or whatever.
The Pokemon.
Right, exactly.
Right.
So, Spencer Dinwiddie's pentagon is not exciting. There's no standout skill set, really, in that whole thing. It's very...
Love this. Okay.
Very even. Good distribution of XP. Whereas Yogi is much more offensively, like a bit more of a spark plug. He has his moments where he can shoot whatever 9 threes in a row, or whatever that was. That feature is not in the Spencer Dinwiddie.
He's a Voltron.
But he's also not there with the defensive issues. I mean, he's just a small, very small. And if he's not stealing the ball at a faster rate than Spencer Dinwiddie, and he's not playing more conservative defense, it's a pretty big difference there.
Yeah, and I get that. And if this team is, just from a prospect standpoint, you're going to want Dinwiddie over Yogi Ferrell. It's more likely that a 6'6 guy who can ball handle and defend multiple positions will be more successful than a 6-maybe guard, and who we have no sense of really how good of a point guard he'll be. I mean, to be honest, he's not even really a point guard. He's just a ball handler, and he can score a little bit, but he can't do much else. But I still think the ceiling on Yogi is like someone who will be in the league for a while because he can score potentially. Where Dinwiddie, he had a couple of decent games recently, but I don't know if I'm like, if he's going to survive this sinking ship that is the Nets, and then we'll come out the other end and be like, oh, they've got a 10-year pro.
His skill set a lot less exciting than the Yogi.
XP,
girls.
XP, XP.
Yeah. I wanted to talk a little bit about that Nets Daily article that went up today. That was pretty good.
Yeah, please do.
By Cheer Boy. I'd like to like roll him out properly, but I should give him. This is new, you know. May as well. I lost the draft. Charles Maniego, writing for the first time for Nets Daily, had a really good long article extrapolating Nets' offensive strengths with Brook Lopez. Did you read that article?
No.
It's good. In the end...
That'd be a new fun game, by the way. Did you read that article? No.
Yeah, yeah. But basically, in summation, he kind of thinks that Brook Lopez is actually a perfect fit for Kenny Atkinson's system offensively.
Totally. I mean, there was a I tweeted this out, BK Glue Guys. There was Brook's 3-point shooting is obviously the biggest development in his game. He shot 14 3-pointers last year. Now he's leading the team in field goal made and field goal attempted or 3-point attempted or whatever. But he had a 3-pointer in the Dallas game where he had the ball in his hands. He took a jab step and kind of even took like a little bit of a fadeaway shot from the worst place on the floor to shoot the three, which is like basically elbow extended. And he made it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of an insane shot for a 7-footer who has no 3-point history to be able to make.
His shot chart that they show in this article is pretty amazing. Just in how even the distribution is. It's pretty wild. But the one thing is, the corner from three, or the elbow extended or whatever, that's the only cold spot on the strong side.
For him. And do you know what my theory about that is?
I would love to hear it.
Big feet. Big small feet. Space.
No. This is the elbow extended. This is
corner three.
Not corner. He's pretty good from the corner, and especially the right corner. I think that's the only thing where he's shooting over.
You know what's interesting? I was looking at a couple of player shot charts in the Nets. It was Dinwiddie and a couple of other guys. They're all good from the right corner.
Yeah.
Don't shoot from the left corner. I don't know why that is.
That's how. It's kind of how I am too. I gotta tell you.
Yeah. I don't want to see my shot chart. Yeah. Don't want to know.
Just cold everywhere.
Don't want to know.
Just a blizzard.
But it's. It's going to be interesting to see. So I don't want to talk Brook Lopez trade rumors.
Oh, jeez, Mike.
But I'm just going to be saying, I think people are going to step back and they're going to look at this Brook season and they're going to realize them, those people being people in the NBA, and they're going to realize how valuable he is. He is extremely valuable. It's insane the transformation Brook has made seem so easy.
Yeah.
And he's got to be. I mean, I haven't looked this up. Maybe Miles Turner, but who's a better 3-point shooter as a center, a legitimate center?
Wait, you the Miles Turner?
I love Miles Turner.
He's not a 3-point shooting center.
He is.
It's point half a three a game is not a 3-point shooting center in today's game.
He can shoot the three though.
Maurice Spates averages 1.5.
Spates. Don't even bring up Mo Spates to me.
Frank Kaminsky Jr.
Don't bring up Frank Kaminsky Jr. to me. Miles Turner is a 3-point shooting. I guess Kristaps.
I think Brook averages more than both of those guys.
Yeah.
I know.
That's what I'm saying.
Know.
He's the best in the NBA. we once talked about Brook being the best low post offensive threat.
Yeah. He's really adapted. He's really adapted.
Pretty amazing. And his trade value's got to be high.
Is Kenny going to get any of that credit?
Yeah. So I don't know if you feel this way, that I keep looking at Kenny Atkinson, and I can't believe the amount of composure that he has for the crap of players he has on his team, essentially.
Yeah.
There'll be times in the game when, like, we've talked about this, how, he'll set up a pretty good play, but yet he's running the play with D-League level players or G-League level players, and it just doesn't go right. And it's incredible to me that he can just, like, just move on, and, his mindset is so much of, like, we're just going to try to do better every play, and we're not going to worry about winning.
Dude, I think of the Dallas game, they had a lineup out of like KJ McDaniels, Isaiah Whitehead, Dinwiddie, and Archie Goodwin, and I was just like,
yeah,
whoa.
Archie Goodwin. I've always loved Archie Goodwin, but I don't know.
I was like, whoa, this is bold. Going out here with this crew is pretty bold at this point.
That's what I mean, this team over the past 2 months have become just like, There's no crunch time lineup because crunch time doesn't exist for the most part. And it's just, all right, guys are going to be playing 20 minutes a game. Everyone's going to be playing 20 minutes a game. And it's I think it's working. I think it's keeping everyone engaged. And even though you don't really care about keeping Randy Foy engaged, he's still engaged.
Randy Foy, the more we talk negatively about Randy Foy, the better.
Looks pretty good,
dude. He's like, if at some point we're the other team's on an 8-0 run or something, get Randy Foy the ball. That's how I feel at this point.
And that's what people are so furious about was I think Randy Foy was in the game over Jeremy Lin in the Celtics game. That is, and so that's like the big controversy is that they could have beat the Celtics if Lin was in, which is like probably true, but who knows? I mean. It's not like the – so Kenny Atkinson defended not putting Lynn in because the other guys are playing well and he really didn't have a spot to put him in. I kind of agree with him. Like, the
You are overlooking Jeremy Lin's crunch time statistics in a heinous way, maybe I could say.
I think the team's better without Jeremy.
See?
No.
See?
No one's ever said that.
Yeah. A bunch of people just tuned out right there.
Yeah.
So you just lost half the viewers, the listeners.
Yeah, Jeremy Lin's ankle day-to-day, and that's good news because – every time he's not on the court is a problem for this team, not only for winning games, but, you know, they need to see it.
There is something very special that happens when he is not on the court. It's like all the juju, all the magic, any optimism I have kind of just goes away when he's hurt.
Well, I was thinking about, I think I was listening to a Bill Simmons podcast, and he was talking about how, like, there's so many good point guards in the NBA that it doesn't really make sense to pay for a really good player unless really good point guard. Unless he's like really, really good, because you're like Drew Holiday is going to be a free agent this year, and he may get the max, but who is he? He's 18-7, pretty good, but not amazing. Like Jeremy Lin's contract, if he's healthy, is going to look incredible because it's at a decent. I think it's like $12 million right now, and he is 100% a starter in the NBA, and as the cap keeps rising up, he's just going to be like to be fit in. I mean, trade value. You know, sure. Total.
Can I also say, I think Isaiah Whitehead had his transformational moment against the Knicks that night. I think he had his first level Super Saiyan happened.
You think?
I mean, his version of it.
No, I love. I love
that spin Isaiah. Move. That go-to spin thing. Move is amazing.
The Cyclone, man. The Brooklyn Cyclone.
It is. It's you don't see spin moves like that anymore, Mike. Not these days.
I just love his demeanor. Yeah. It's very Deion Waiters.
Such an upright runner. Just like
I don't think he's ever like craned his neck downward. Yeah. It's always. Yeah. It's like someone got to him in like prep school and just told him,
keep
your heads, just do it straight.
Stapled a board to his back or something.
Oh, God. But
it's been a revelation, Mike.
Yeah. I was kind of disappointed. The Ringer did a article where they like re-ranked the rookies, like how they redraft. Yeah. They didn't even mention LeVert or Whitehead, but I mean, from both of them, I feel so much more confident in what's going to happen in the draft.
Yeah.
Coming up, and we haven't talked about this, but we're going to dig into some of these first round prospects. I think.
Oh yeah, I mean we have like a ton of time after the season's over. Yeah.
Season's not over.
No, oh, Mikey. God. You know when you were saying the re-ranking thing, I clicked some clickbait yesterday, and I felt really disappointed in myself.
What did you click?
I was on Facebook, and there was an ad for all the ninjas and. God, I can't even remember. Mortal Kombat ranked. Yeah. It was a video that was like 90 seconds long.
Oh,
no. And it was just like, Rain is the worst. Katana's pretty good. Sub-Zero is the best. I was like, oh my God. I feel like...
Can I tell you something? This is really a strange rabbit hole to fall down into, but I was writing an email to my friends. We're in this NCAA draft. It's not a bracket. It's 8 people. You draft 8 teams. The C times the round is how many points you get.
Sure.
So then after the end of the first 2 rounds, I did a superlatives for it.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend who's in it now has no more teams left. Mm-hmm. So I was going to make a joke about him being barren.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked up, I Googled famous barren people.
Yeah. Means to not there be able are, to have children.
There are lists of that.
Yeah.
That is
oh my God.
There are lists of that. It's
oh
like,
oh my Lord.
How can that even... I just wanted to see. And there's our list. I'm like, multiple articles. I'm like, what clickbait world are we
there was another one. Yeah, that reminds me of one that I saw that was like 17 actors you didn't know are dead. And you had the cover.
Oh, that's horrible.
On the thumbnail was River Phoenix. It's like, that's the only.
That's the most famous one. It's maybe one of the most famous.
Everyone knows River Phoenix is dead.
I've always kind of wanted to do a deep dive in like, you know when you get to the bottom of an article, there's like those 4 stories from Zergnet or whatever those are.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, one of them will always be, you won't believe what she looks like now.
Yeah.
I always just want to like, I want to dig into like, it's almost like the fake news thing Russians are probably creating most of that stuff. Who's creating that stuff?
Yes. Well, teenagers in Estonia. That's
sure.
That's exactly who.
That's where all the action's happening.
There's also the thing where it's like, is that clickbait being given to me because of my past? What about my past search history? Because I was in an email chain, this is like 2 years ago, but for work, and somebody, it was for a book, They were like on the Amazon page of the book, and they took a screenshot of it and sent it along because it's like, wow, look at how many reviews or whatever, like many 5-star reviews. And in the corner there was like a chaps, like a like assless chaps thing, like leather chaps. And he was like, haha, look at like the ads they put with this book too, not knowing that that's not how the internet works.
No.
that's not how it works.
Yeah, that's tough. All right, news around the league.
You didn't like that, huh?
No.
Oh wait,
look, I feel bad for your what?
No, let's do a little thing.
Hey yo, do you play Daily Fantasy? Do you? I do. If you do, you should be playing on Draft. You should get this. Your chances of winning on Draft are almost 3 times better than on FanDuel and DraftKings. This is true. The data shows 90%. Of players lose on DraftKings. On FanDuel, over 40% of the money goes to just 1% of the players. Now, if you're not a pro and you're not some creep who's spending hours a day on fantasy, you should be playing at it on Draft. You'll win more often, it's statistically proven. On Draft, you do a simple snake draft just like at the beginning of your season-long league. You can do drafts whenever you want. They last just for 1 day and they take only minutes to complete. So I have Draft on my phone. I just did a quick game yesterday and I got Russell Westbrook with like the 3rd pick, and I crushed it, which was improbable. That would never happen with DraftKings or whatever else. So download Draft now. Just search Draft in the App Store, and it'll come up first. Be sure to enter the promo code ABPN when you download, and you'll get 100% bonus when you deposit. Again, search Draft in the App Store, and be sure to enter the promo code ABPN.
News of the week.
Oh, it's news time.
It's the news!
All right, go, go.
Do it live! Do it live! All right.
News of the week.
How tall is James Comey?
I think he's 6'3".
Is that it? That's he looks like a giant walking down that hall.
Yeah. News of the week. Brian. Big game tonight. The Warriors play the Oklahoma City Thunder. Of course, that's a big game because Oklahoma City Thunder hate the Warriors for multiple reasons. And we had a report today from Chris Haynes from ESPN. I don't know if you saw this, but that from multiple sources within the Warriors, that the Warriors were furious that OKC leadership didn't try to calm down the angry OKC fans before the first Thunder Warriors game, which was like, you know, Durant's first game going back to OKC. The fans were furious, you know, yelling at him, screaming at him, blah, 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 blah. Apparently, multiple people inside the Warriors were upset that essentially the Thunder people didn't come out and do something before the game and said, you know, something like, hey, why don't we be nice to Kevin? Because this is actually the paragraph, the best paragraph, and I'll just read it for you.
Okay.
The Warriors felt, according to sources, that for a player who meant so much to a city, the player being Kevin Durant, a small market city at that.
Oh, dig time.
Yeah. A courtesy greeting was an order from top brass, who should have issued their fans a reminder and proper perspective on Durant's role in elevating the Thunder into a perennial championship contending team.
Getting diggy with it, Mike.
Okay. So then later, Kerr and Curry were asked about it today. The game's tonight, Monday night, so we don't know what the effect of this will be. They both said the story is fake news. So anyways, so it comes to this.
I'm really worried. Can I just say I'm really worried about the vocabulary of America?
Nah,
fake news.
Bigly, come on.
It's terrible.
I'm bigly worried.
All right, sorry, go ahead.
The story gets out regardless. And in the story, it's referenced as sources. So that means multiple, you would think, people within the organization. And if Kerr and Curry are not those people, you would not think. That would then be maybe Bob Myers or the owner. I would think it'd be from Joe Lacob, the owner, because he references small market. And that's a strange thing to do. That's a very specific dig at that town. Or it came from Durant and Durant's people.
Yeah.
Regardless of where it came from, it's a horrible look for the Warriors. I think it makes them look like what people believe them to be, which is essentially like this kind of, I don't know how to, like, they think their shit don't stink and they're better than everyone else.
It's just like, it reminds me of a person that I know in my life who is an agitator and then quick to play the victim. Very quick. It's
talking
you, Mike.
Me.
It's
me.
No, it's not you, actually.
Georgie was biting that dog. Yeah.
Georgie's dog is also the same kind of, or sorry, Mike's dog Georgie is also an agitator and a victim at the same time.
Yeah.
No, not an agitator. Georgie's sweet girl. That's a perfect terrible PR move for that team.
Unbelievable. I don't know who would put that out there. Who would want, because so you're venting. So if you read the article, it's pretty extensive. It's not just like one of those sources say things where they say one sentence and then we blow it out.
Yeah.
It's sources say multiple paragraphs. Mm-hmm. So they're venting to a reporter. Obviously, then they can let the reporter then use that as sources say. Mm-hmm. If sources are multiple people, that means multiple people are venting about this situation. And I cannot imagine it came from Durant, because Durant, I believe, is smart enough to know that would make him look bad. Mm-hmm. It would make people upset in OKC even more.
Yeah.
I have a feeling it must have come from the owner, but I don't really think the owner's like swooping down and talking to some ESPN reporter who's, you know, just, I don't think that's going to happen. But it's just, it's a bad look. And it's only, if you're a fan of, so let's say that if you're a Nets fan in this situation, you're, and some, let's say, I don't know, Jason Kidd leaves, and a story comes out after the first game that Nets fans were too mean to Jason Kidd, and that Jason Kidd feels bad about people being too mean.
Yeah.
Are you going to be nicer?
Yeah, that might encourage me to be like really nice next time. It doesn't solve any of the problems. It's really, it's a great little news piece. I'm sorry that I missed that.
Oh, and by the way, I didn't add this in, but do you know Sean Marks is going to be in Moscow on Wednesday?
Did you know that? You know, for who? Have you watched the Milos Teodosic stuff?
No.
Interesting. It's, very weird player.
Well, give me your scouting report. How's this really
like
shooting?
Like nobody I've ever seen. Very strange. Obviously, the Jason Kidd, just because he's a very large guard that passes and runs fast.
That's the lame. That's become the go-to, just like, big point guard, he's Jason Kidd.
Yeah. In this case, it's probably more accurate than a lot of the other ones, because he does like really, really good passes moving full speed and transition, which is like sort of what I think of like the hallmark of Jason Kidd's game. And you don't see a lot of people doing that. But weird player, because they're also not like a Jason Kidd pass. It's like a lot of these I don't know. They're just like,
well, Euro basketball is still, we've stolen so much from that, but like it's still so different. It's just still like the angles that they play are much weirder.
Yeah, it always
mid-ranges still exist too over there. Mid-range is not.
Dude, the Dallas Mavericks mid-range life. It's like, they're like the last team hanging on to this mid-range game.
It'll make a comeback.
Everything's got a zig and zag, you know. That's what I say.
I just want the Milos thing, the savior from abroad. I don't know if it makes sense for this team. Because
we saw that article where he was like, I want to play for like a competitive team right away and start on it. So it's like,
he's 30 years old.
Yeah.
He is saying that he wants to be on a competitive team. The Nets probably aren't competitive. I haven't confirmed that yet, but they may not be.
Yeah.
He would take minutes away from LeVert, Whitehead, whoever the draft picks are this year. So he would be your backup point guard, your two in some situations along with Lynn. He would make the team better, I'm sure, but what are you gaining by signing a 30-year-old point guard who hasn't been in the NBA? And when you're trying to build, well, unless if you like believe that he's just like a Manu Ginobili type, just like a winner and totally great to be around. And,
exactly. I think so long as Jeremy Lin is on this team, that's just a non-starter, unfortunately. Unless Prokhorov just wants to make it rain jet skis on his head, and that's how we're gonna solve this thing. But other than that, like, you know, it just is not a natural fit, because like we've gone all in on this in our one point guard. Although, you know, Ian Eagle in our interview with him said that that's not necessarily set in stone.
No, and I don't think it is either. And it's not. I'm not saying it's impossible. They'll sign him also because there's like the Trajan Langdon connection that was talked about in the Nedeljkovic article, that he played for CSKA Moscow for 8 years or whatever. I'm sure like if you're looking for inefficiencies, you're gonna look international. And if you could sign him for $8 million a year, which was Sergio Rodriguez's contract with the Sixers, $8 million is like not that much now.
No.
Blah 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 blah. But it just it
you would only make that move if there's like two other moves along with that. Two other moves being signing free agents.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to just make that move, I don't think, and that be like it.
Yeah.
Right? So maybe they go into this offseason and be like, we're going to make it Rangeskis on Otto Porter and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Do you think that because we traded Boyan to the Wizards, there's a little wink, wink, nudge, nudge about not matching our offer to Otto Porter?
Yeah, I don't think that's...
You don't think that that's, I don't how, think that that's works? How
that operated.
Hmm.
But
weird.
Would you be okay with Jeremy Lin, Brook Lopez, and then Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Otto Porter on max contracts?
I'm not sold on Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Can I just say that?
Apparently he's a great defender.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Otto Porter is, like, obviously, like, yes, 100%. Like,
yeah.
I'd love it. I don't know. He, like, something about it. You're saying max contract, though.
Yeah. So the problem with Otto Porter is that, like, he'll never be... He's not James Harden. He's not, like, a role player who will then ascend to being awesome.
Mm-hmm.
He will always be, the best version of a 3-and-D, pretty much. Like, that will always be his circumstance.
Yeah.
Which would be helpful, but is he worth...
Yeah.
What would it be, money. $30 million a year?
No. No, he's not.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, I think, probably has more potential in that he probably has more of that, like, I can be the main scorer on an OK team. But they're going to have to give money to someone.
Yeah.
You hope. Anyways, second story. Can I tell you about this?
Mm-hmm.
Headline, most boring debate in basketball is back.
Oh. Right. Is it LeBron or Michael Jordan?
It's LeBron.
Oh.
No. It's about the fact that the Cavs sat James Irving in Love on a national TV game.
Yeah. I watched that game. That was amazing how heftily they took it from every side of the broadcast.
I mean, I understand why this is a debate to be had, but these are the two groups of people that care about this debate.
Mm-hmm.
People who broadcast basketball games and people who are in the arena when those basketball games are being played.
Yeah.
No one else could possibly care, especially Saturday night. You know, everyone's like, oh, it's a prime time national TV game. One, there's one of those every night. And also, it's the NCAA tournament. It's just no one's going to be caring about NBA basketball on a Saturday night.
Look, I was happy because I was like, let me see those Kay Fielding moments. Like,
that's what I love when they have like these like just
so that's it. They're
terrible
like,
teams.
We want our like generic fans to be happy because they just want to see LeBron. I want them. I like it because I want them to educate themselves and step up a little bit. Take the time to read through the roster a bit.
you invest
a little bit of your time into the sport that you claim to love so much. You're going to show up wearing a jersey of somebody's name on your back.
It's like loving Tolkien, but really only reading The Hobbit.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's there's like other books out.
Oh,
there.
You know who Bilbo is? Congratulations.
There's other
what
books.
About, what about Tom Bombadil?
You've already lost me. Already lost me. But. It's just, I totally get why it's important. Like, if I'm the commissioner of the NBA, I care about this because, again, my product's on national TV. The best or second best team in the NBA is not playing their best players against a team that we should want to care about beating. But as a fan, I could not care. It doesn't affect me. It makes sense to me. On a like a basketball friend level, like just like I enjoy it.
You know why? It's because you're a discerning fan. You've invested enough time so that you're immune to the
and I want to see Kay Felder.
Exactly. To this useless headline. I mean I fully understand it too. Like the guy's being rested because you want to see more of him in the future. Like you take one game off here so that there's five more over here. You know, that's being economical with your time, in my mind.
And that's a great point because if LeBron's playing all 82, 38 minutes, all 82, his most important 16, he won't be Superman LeBron.
All these like old guys who are like talking about like we never took off like and in the years before that like never took off like these were guys off the street playing and you know if you go back far enough. I was reading in the Terry Pluto books that I love. Like half of the guys in the league in like the 70s and 80s. Or not, maybe not 80s, but like certainly 60s and 70s, were like, yeah, I went to school for communications. I was dead set on being a lawyer. I really wanted to be a doctor. And then like, you know, at like 28, like I started playing professional basketball. Like these kids who have been playing, like LeBron has like never not played basketball since he was 10 years old or whatever. And that's how
he
gets
what
the
he was going
NBA
to do
these days. It's an enormous risk. All of your all of your, like, you know, financial future is totally locked up in this thing, unlike, you know, in previous years and so on and so forth. These are the risks. They want to protect these athletes. They want to protect their investments. I don't see a problem with it. You need to expect a little bit more from your audience, Mike. That's my hot take.
Beautiful.
I'm furious now. I'm furious at the Joe Schmoes and the stupid Staples Center. And then where's LeBron?
So that's all I have. But I saw Beauty and the Beast. Can I get a You're a Baby Boy? What? Do you have that? Do you have You're a Baby Boy?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You're just a baby boy. You don't know any better.
Okay, that's our movie review lead-in. Okay, let me give you this. Okay, I have a lot of thoughts. First, I'm going to say outright, I cried 3 times during the movie.
Oh my lord!
Okay, I cried 3 times. What? I was one of.
Can you take the, like, at what, just what minute mark are we looking at here? Spread out, or is this
okay? Well, if you're not familiar with Beauty and the Beast, I'm sure you have. You seen, you know, the songs for the most part.
I remember, like, Be My Guest.
Okay, so when Emma Watson comes out and sings Bonjour, you know, beautiful, just in tears.
Wait, Mike, what is going on here? I'm not gonna lie.
Are
you like a closet Disney freak or something?
No, I'm really not. That's what I don't really understand why I was crying. There's something else that must be going on.
Wait, why? Okay, first of all, why were you planning it so far in advance to see Beauty and the Beast 3D? Like, I've got like a whole lot of questions about this.
No. I wasn't planning that far in advance, but my wife. Uh-huh. I'm pointing to pillows, but my wife wanted to see it. She never goes to movies, and then she wanted to see it. So it was something.
Okay. All right.
And also because it was making a ton of money, that pulls me in. It's like, all right, what's happening?
Sure.
I didn't really care about seeing it. Here's what's interesting about
that pulls me in, the money thing.
Okay, here's what's interesting about it. I was talking to my brother about this. Okay, most of the time when they remake movies.
Hang on. Sorry to interrupt one more time. Did your brother also see this
no,
movie?
No, he has not. He has not. Yeah. I just needed someone to talk to.
Sure.
Okay. Most of the time when they remake movies, especially ones that, let's say, are 30 years old, they update it in some way. There's some new take. We think about Wicked. Wicked is based off of...
We do think about Wicked.
Well, if we're talking along this like fantastical sort of Disney vibe, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Wicked is a prequel to whatever the other movie was. What's the first one? Most famous
the
one?
The Wizard of Oz.
That big one. Okay. So, Beauty and the Beast, we're going to get a new one. But what it is literally is a shot-for-shot remake of the cartoon. Everything is the same.
Yeah.
It is exactly the same, except we put people in it as opposed to cartoons.
Okay.
It's crazy to see that. It's also thrilling to be... You're in this. So I'm sitting in this audience. This is the theater on Broadway by Union Square, north of Union Square, the AMC. It's a terrible theater. They still have the seats that are. It's not stadium seating. It is like a slope, a slow descending slope. My wife has a 7-year-old boy standing behind her with his hands basically on her shoulders, giving his own monologue during the movie, which is totally special and great.
Yeah.
He was reading every word on the screen. Parents try to keep him under control, but
I like that you think that's special and great, because in my world, that
was horrible. Yeah. It was horrible. Okay. I tried to be nice here, but it was horrible. Every person in the audience was the same girl that I knew from summer camp dance up at Jewish camp, but we are now 30-year-olds.
Right.
Everyone was the same age.
Yeah.
Watching a kids movie.
Yeah.
Starring a woman that was in another series of kids movies that she's now assumed the lead role in another. It's a weird movie. It's just a weird movie experience. It's weird to see a cartoon that is just, they just brought to life, but it's like the same movie.
How would you even remember I don't think I may have never seen the cartoon, and I certainly don't remember like what the shots were. Like, what is it?
Well, not shot for shot, but like Disney movies back in those days, particularly. I'm not like that much of an expert. Like, they had like songs in them.
Sure,
you know.
Yeah.
So like, basically, they're basically just redoing the songs. There's no plot. The movie, they did not give a crap about like artistic license.
Mm.
There was no like, we're gonna give it this take. We're gonna make it about Trump's America, but Beauty and the Beast, you know, like the Beast is liberalism, and he's rejected. And no, it's literally just like,
yeah,
no, let's just do the same crap that we did before, but we're like, we're gonna put people in it.
Did I tell you what my movie experience was at Rogue One when I went many months after it already came out?
So good.
So there was an empty theater, like, pretty much, because we saw it so far after it came out.
Sure.
And that's how I like to do things. And there was a guy sitting in the middle of this giant thing at, like, you know, like 30 rows in, whatever, totally normal seat, seats everywhere, and a family of like six come in, and they stand, the wife stands in front of him and is like, "You're in my seat."
Guy
moves one seat over and they have to sit next to each other. It's
great for that guy, though.
Yeah, bold. And then they left. And then they left what? After about 20 minutes. They what? Left. Yeah.
That's to do what?
I don't know. To go, like, pick their noses in public. I don't know. Be awful. That's what they wanted to do.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
What do you feel about the reserve seat?
Terrible. Oh, my God. Did we have to make everything terrible? What is going on with this world?
I didn't know that was going to be the answer. Like, yeah. Dig in.
Oh, my God. Like, everything has to be, I don't know. I was listening, like, I was recently looking at a contract for books, working books, and I looked at one from 1957, and it was 2 pages, and it was like, you give us this, we'll give you that.
Yes.
And that was sign off. I look at it now, it's like 45 pages of horrific, like, margin-laden nightmare, and it's because these lawyers got their hands on it, and they just want to make trouble for everybody.
Well, I mean, I actually thought about Beauty and the Beast, like, whoever made Beauty and the Beast, like, I don't know who, like, wrote the original tale that is old as time, but that person is losing $1 billion. This movie is going to make $1 billion. And ever how much the cartoon has made over its span.
You know how I know everything's getting terrible?
Yeah, please tell me.
In my building, what they just did. We're going to move because of this, I think. Not because of this, but this is really? Another reason that we're going
to... Where are you going to go now?
We're going to move back to Brooklyn. It's where we belong. It's where we always belong.
Yeah, that's right.
But have you seen this? They put in a new intercom, right? Intercom was, like, the door buzzer thing was working fine. Perfect, like a normal doorbell, and sure. Then you hit the talk, and then person comes up. Now what they have is they put in a phone thing. So somebody buzzes your thing, and it calls you on the phone, and then you hit 0, and then it opens the door for them. So if you're like me, and you have a person that lives with you, like your wife, you can only hook one phone up to the stupid thing.
Oh, okay.
So...
That's horrible.
So she can't, if she's ordering food or something, she like can't get packages, can't do anything unless I'm like by my phone all the time. And sometimes
you're
no,
not.
I like to not be by my phone.
You're not, yeah.
I don't like having my phone on me. Anyways, it's terrible. It's terrible.
Do you still, but you don't have the flip phone anymore, so.
No.
That's horrible. I'm sorry.
That's us just griping.
That's horrible.
Brian and Mike griping on the internet.
That's it.
Yeah.
The movie, if you like Beauty and the Beast, go see it, but it's like...
You cried 3 times.
I don't know what's wrong with me. I was kind of hungover from the day. I just had to go to work, and I just came from work, and I was, like, tired and, like, emotionally broken down.
Yeah.
Already.
If I ever feel like I need to cry, there's, like, a couple of YouTube videos that I go to. Like, my go-to.
Like, what kind of cries?
Like, deep, like, meaningful cries.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, what's on YouTube that does
There's one where it's, like, this guy who teaches deaf kids in Africa. It's like, poof.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And, like, because they, like, they, all this, like, they learn sign language for the first time. Nobody could communicate with them at all. They're, like, 15 years old.
Oh,
and then
God.
Suddenly, like, they see their understanding and everyone else understand the elation in their faces, Mike. It just, like, makes your heart sore.
Yeah.
Tears of joy.
I just watched Jeremy Lin, you know, just playing basketball.
I know. We've been talking too much, Mike. We got to send this thing out.
But
so go see Beauty and the Beast. Hit Mike up at beautyandthebeast.mike.com. I love Disney. I'm weird.
It's a weird film experience. That's all I'm saying. It's just weird.
I don't believe I would find it weird at all. I think I would probably find it pretty rote and boring.
No, that's, it's a weird, also because it's that cross section of commercialism and art where it's like literally art is taken away and it's just like, we are going to feed you this.
Yeah.
And you're going to like it. But
yeah, Emma Watson passed up on La La Land for that role.
Did she?
Yeah. Big mistake.
Emma Stone would still be better.
They should have switched it. Flipped it.
I thought about that too.
Yeah.
All right. Brian, that's it.
Hey, Mike, a great show.
So we'll figure out a contest to do our... Yeah.
Someone's got
to
get this lice-laden hat of Mike's. Just kidding. No, he's got beautiful hair. Beautiful
Thank
hair.
You.
check us out. iTunes, Glue Guys, if you're not subscribing, you're a terrible person. Nets Daily, Almighty Baller, and BK Glue Guys on Twitter.
Thanks, everybody. And good night to you.